Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says more impeachment hearings into President Trump could be coming. Here he is yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Right now, no public hearings scheduled for any time in the rest of this year.
But we don't foreclose the possibility of others.
But will more hearings change anyone's mind about the case? Both Democrats and Republicans have claimed victory, saying the witnesses prove their version of the facts. Neal Katyal is the former acting Solicitor General of the United States under the Obama administration. He's argued dozens of cases before the Supreme Court, and he is currently a law professor at Georgetown University. Katyal has written what he casts as the definitive legal argument about the impeachment inquiry. It's titled Impeach, the Case Against Donald Trump. Neal Katyal, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rachel, so much for having me.
So there was a recent poll done by NPR Marist PBS that said a whole lot of people watched the testimony, watched the public testimony, were paying attention to the impeachment inquiry, but it didn't change a lot of minds. What makes you think this book will?
Well, look, I think we're very early into this. I mean, 2 months ago, the American people didn't even know the broadest outlines of this whole Ukraine story. So everything has been moving super fast, and we're only in chapter one. And I wrote this book because Trump has a masterful ability to distract and to change the story and to confuse it and to throw up all sorts of chaff and make it so that Americans find it difficult to understand what the story is. And he's done this repeatedly, including with the Mueller investigation. So the book is just a simple, clear argument for why the president has to be impeached. And it's written for ordinary folks who don't have law degrees or, you know, fancy advanced graduate school degrees in history or something like that. And, you know, I do think that anyone who reads this, Republican, Democrat, Independent, will come to the conclusion that what the president did is such a grave offense. It is a structural crime against the American people.
So let's dig into your argument. Republicans like Will Hurd of Texas have argued that the central issue here is that President Trump pressured Ukraine for investigations that would benefit his reelection bid. And people like Hurd, lawmakers like Hurd, have said, that's not appropriate. We agree that that is not appropriate behavior, but it is not an impeachable offense. How do you respond to that?
Well, then I guess I want to ask Representative Hurd what he thinks impeachment is for, because, you know, I'm a constitutional historian. I went back to the Philadelphia Convention of 1787 and asked that question. Why did our founders put impeachment in the document? And many of our founders, like Gouverneur Morris, were concerned and actually anti an impeachment clause altogether. They said, look, we'll have the election system, so a president will run for reelection, and that's a way to check an abusive precedent. And then others, like James Madison, said, well, wait a minute, what about if you have a president who gets help from a foreign government? What if you have a president who cheats and engages in self-dealing and puts his interests above the interests of the American people? And then even Gouverneur Morris changes his mind and says, yeah, absolutely, we need an impeachment clause for those kinds of things. So this is, Rachel, literally core impeachment. There's a debate about, you know, what is a high crime and misdemeanor? There isn't a debate about this, because central, maybe the most important thing in our entire democracy, is our fair election system. And if you can allow a president, or anyone, but particularly an incumbent president, with all the powers of the commander-in-chief, to leverage those powers to guarantee or to help him in the re-election, we're not living in a democracy anymore. We're not living in a fair system in which our political system checks the abuse that, you know, we've known to expect for, you know, since in our lifetimes.
But it needs to meet that bar of a high crime or misdemeanor. And you just acknowledged that there is a debate about exactly what that means. Can you lay that out? What's the confusion here?
Sure. So a high crime misdemeanor, our founders put it into the Constitution. They were trying to decide what it should mean, what should be an impeachable offense. And there was an initial proposal that it should be for maladministration, for bad policies. And that was rejected in favor of something much higher, what we call high crimes and misdemeanors. And by the way, Rachel, the phrase is treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And so bribery was one of the two offenses that our founders enumerated specifically in the Constitution. And as the book lays out in an entire chapter, there's no way, once you read the facts of what happened with Ukraine, to view this as anything but bribery, plain and simple. This is the president saying to another government, look, I'll give you some goodies, But in exchange, you got to do a favor for me first, though. And so I'll release the military aid. I'll give you a White House meeting. But the only way I'm going to do that is if you go and help me in my election campaign. That is core bribery. It'd be a criminal violation if the a sitting president can be indicted, but it is certainly an impeachable offense.
What's the so-called Pence standard that you write about?
Yeah, so the book starts at the beginning and asks, you know, what is it that is a high crime and misdemeanor when you take it out of bribery and treason? Because the phrase is bribery, treason, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And helpfully, Vice President Pence, when he was in Congress in 2008, said that a high crime and misdemeanor is when the president puts his interests over the interests of the American people. I mean, lawyers use fancy terms like violation of fiduciary duties and stuff like that. But Pence laid it out really clearly. He just said, is the president acting in the nation's interest or is he acting in his personal interest? And here, when it comes to Ukraine, there's no way to look at this and think of it as anything else.
So another important critique of the impeachment inquiry has been that this is upending the democratic process, that we're just simply too close to a national election, and that the voters should decide, not the House Intelligence Committee or Congress writ large. What do you say to that?
I think two things. Number one is the allegations here involve cheating in next year's election. So it's a little weird to say, oh, let's have the election and then let that decide. I mean, that's kind of like if you're accused of cheating in Monopoly and your solution is, oh, well, let's just play a game of Monopoly and decide and see who wins to decide who's right. That can't possibly be the rule. That's the first thing. And the second is, this is such a core impeachable offense. This is literally the president putting his personal interests over those of the American people. And because of that, I don't think that, you know, this is a kind of wait and see kind of thing. It'd be one thing if this president had expressed contrition and said, OK, I did something wrong. I made a mistake. I won't do it again. But this is a guy who's vowing to do it again, asking China now for help in the 2020 election. And so for both of those reasons, I think this wait and see till the next election argument is an invitation to read the impeachment clause out of the Constitution altogether. This is what the clause is for.
Former U.S. Solicitor General and the author of the book Impeach, Neil Katyal, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard.